Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Peter Meyer with us. Peter is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and has spent many, many hours with us over the years bestowing the benefits of his wisdom on us, and he's one of the top management minds in our Brain Trust. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. And our good friend Peter Meyer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for that nice introduction.
Well, it's all the truth, and we appreciate you being here. I still tell the audience and whoever I'm talking to, when we talk about branding, Peter, which I do at the drop of a hat. I mean, I can launch into a branding soliloquy for small business owners with virtually no provocation. But the thing that you can't talk about branding, you know, because branding is not a noun, it's a verb. And that means you got to do something with it. And one of the things you can do with it, and this is how I connect to you, one of the things you do with branding, not just your brand, but branding, is you can create and you can dominate new markets.
It's very true. Absolutely true. And the reason it works that way is because most of us look at our product as being the things we make and sell on the shelves, or make and sell through the web or through our catalog. And the fact of the matter is that our entire business perception is our product. So what our customers see is part of that. And that's as simple as how we invoice. And as fundamental, as you're pointing out, is how we brand.
Well, it's just like the railroads almost lost their business 100 years or so ago because they thought they were in the railroad business. They didn't realize that their branding was to be in the transportation business.
And we think
our brand is the product on the shelf, and people don't realize, as you were saying, that our brand is the smiles on the face of our employees.
Mm-hmm. And the way we appear in email.
Yeah.
And the way we appear on the phone. It's all part of the brand, and it's what makes customers come back or stay away. And we know that for ourselves. When we buy things on the net, or we buy things on the phone, we buy things in person,
right,
we know we'd like to buy from people.
I'll give you an example. This happened to me yesterday, and I was just telling you about it. I made a purchase yesterday on the phone. I'd already been on their website, the beautiful, magnificent website of this organization. They sent me an absolutely magnificent piece of collateral material, a brochure for something that I really liked. I really like a lot. And so yesterday on the phone, I called the. I mean, here's this. Peter, the amount of effort and resources that were put into attracting me and getting me to pick up the phone and call these people was enormous. And I got somebody on the phone, and you would have thought she was mad that I called.
Oh.
And had they not already worked me into such a fever pitch about this, I would have probably just hung up.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking about that. You know, how unfortunate that they've gone to all this trouble. And because, see, the person I was talking to, I needed her to answer a question or two for me. And she just basically just, it was like, well, you know, if you want it, fine. If you don't, fine.
Hmm.
And so that's what those people don't realize is they went to all that trouble, and then their branding broke down with her.
That's just too bad.
Yeah, but it happens all the time.
It does.
And you know what? It happens in small businesses every second of the day somewhere.
But you know, there's a group of small businesses that never do that. Never make that mistake.
They're the successful ones, right?
They're the ones listening to your radio show.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, if I tell you what, if they listen to me, they'll get an earful of that because I mean, I'm a fanatic about this. I'm absolutely out of control about things like that, trying to get small business owners to stop that from happening. The people who I work with, my employees, I'm in their office from time to time when something comes up saying, okay, what happens what do you do when this happens? You know, mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's make sure we do this. I mean, we role play these things.
Yes, of course. And your people are very good at it, I can tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that. But I get compliments on them. I mean, isn't that a good way to think about it, Peter? If you're not getting compliments on your employees, you're probably not doing a good enough job. What do you think?
And it's not them that's not doing a good enough job, is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. The company. It's the execution, isn't it?
And
you're an expert in execution. Talk to us about that.
Well, let me extend your thought here, and if you don't mind, I'm going to tell your listeners a secret they may not know about Jim Blake.
All right, hold. I'll tell you what I got to do. I got to take a break here. Hold on to that secret, folks. And you thought I was doing this accidentally, didn't you, folks? But I knew there was a secret coming, and we needed a cliffhanger. So you're not going away, because you know how about Peter's secrets? They're magic. They're golden. 22. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Won't you come away with me?
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, the Brain Trust, the archives, the articles, the newsletter, the blog, et cetera, et cetera, and thousands of pieces of information that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget our knowledge base, which is growing like crazy, growing like Topsy, as they say. And that's Small Business Advocate. I'm sorry, that's askjim.biz. It's our knowledge base. So use that to your advantage. Both of our websites have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out and use our stuff. We're talking to Peter Meyer. Peter is one of our top management experts in the Brain Trust, and he's got a secret he's about to tell us. This is a golden secret, folks, so pay attention. Go ahead, Peter.
This is a secret about Jim Blasingame.
Oh,
so
no.
More than gold. And so
this is taking a nasty little turn, I can tell.
What your listeners may not know is that Jim and his wife, his beautiful wife, are big fans of the opera. And one of the advantages of talking about the opera, which is something I don't often do, is the ability to take what Jim was talking about in terms of brand and look at it from the point of view of a place you would never have thought. Opera, people tend to think of opera as a bunch of folks who get on stage and sing beautiful music in an auditorium. The guy who now runs the New York Metropolitan Opera realizes his brand is not about people singing, right, Jim? It's about reaching the audience.
Exactly. Not railroad transportation.
Exactly. And he made the decision that he could reach more audience by bringing good opera to big movie theaters around the country.
Wow.
And now 20 times a year, I think it is, they take major operas and they broadcast them in high definition to movie theaters.
Hmm.
And you wouldn't believe it, but the last time I went, and the time before, I had to go hours early to get a good seat. The entire movie theater was completely packed.
So, because you can't buy tickets in advance.
You can, but you don't buy a seat. You buy a ticket.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you go to the opera and you sit there in your blue jeans. And you sit there with a bag of popcorn, right? This is my way of doing opera.
And your gummy bears. Don't forget your gummy bears, Peter.
You can take your gummy bears. Right? And it is such a beautiful experience. But the key thing is that the brand for the New York Metropolitan Opera is no longer you go to them. They come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that a nice way of looking at the brand? It's not about people on stage.
And what he has done, he's democratized branding. He's taken it out to the margins and has introduced opera to people who would, you know, otherwise wouldn't have shown up they wouldn't have wanted to go somewhere like that without wearing jeans. And he's introduced people in addition to whatever business model he accomplished by doing that, if every time that showed in one theater, he got two people to become opera fans, that he accomplished something there, didn't he?
He did. And he increases the opportunity for revenue for the Metropolitan in a number of important ways by doing this.
Yep. Yep.
By deciding that his brand is not people on stage. His brand is reaching people with music.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an interesting combination.
That's
I want
the
to
execution,
back.
Isn't it?
Exactly. I want to bring that back to your other comment. I happen to be chatting with somebody who's running a multi-billion dollar company that was a small business only 10 years ago, brand to business. And he is focused entirely on execution now. Execution, execution, execution. I asked him about where his next new markets were going to be, his next growth was going to be in the areas mm-hmm. he wasn't yet thinking about. He said, we're not going there. We're just going to do execution.
Wow.
And I thought about that for a while and realized that for many of us, it's tempting to spend all of our time on executing as close to perfect as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss the opportunity to do what Peter Gelb did with the opera and you're talking about and
right.
say, there's another place to go where I can grow even more and have more fun. The combination of vision and execution is one we have to keep balanced all the time. It's hard.
Well, look at General Motors.
Mm.
I mean, would that not be a good example in the manufacturing world? I mean,
please go ahead.
And Ford, even. Of course, you know, maybe Ford's been a little more visionary, if not as good at operating as General Motors. But these are companies that are in big trouble because in the 80s and 90s, when people wanted trucks and SUVs, they just executed on those.
Mm.
And now they're literally, with gas going up, they're literally scurrying around trying to convert their F-100 plants and their truck plants, SUV plants, into smaller vehicle plants.
Not easy.
And the truth is, they look kind of dumb doing this now.
And it's interesting because if you look at GM's branding and their internal view of branding, it has been that they make a line of cars and that people buy a line of cars.
Right.
But do you buy a whole line of cars? I don't. Buy a car.
That's right.
So the brand was off. They missed the market mm-hmm. and they had the brand where they didn't, where it was good internally for them, but not good for the average consumer. And they can fix it. They will fix it. They'll have to fix it. But
right.
we don't have to make the same mistake. We can have vision
yep.
and execution.
Well, I see, this is a discussion that has to happen from one generation to the next, too, isn't it? When a business is handed down from one generation to the next, because the thing that got the business to where it could be handed to another generation is probably not going to be the way that second generation or third generation is going to take it to their next generation. Hold on to that thought, Peter. When we come back. There's one thing that I say to people about this one issue that I believe is crystallizes it as much as I've ever heard, even though I said it, believe it or not, folks. And I'll give you that when we come back, and we've got more to come with our good friend Peter Meyer. His books are Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and glad you're here. We're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Peter, give us your website, please.
Well, warpspeedgrowth.com or creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com. The books you mentioned, those are both get you to the website where there's a lot of articles that are just there for people to use.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
The more people use information, the better off we all are.
And your business, the work that you do, consulting with folks.
Yes.
They can find out more about that there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And how to do it themselves or how to get the book or how to call on us if they'd like to ask to help them.
Yes, so check it out, folks. Peter, here's something I've been saying for a couple of years now. I've been telling my audience and anybody else that would listen, in the 21st century, it's okay to fall in love with what you do. You just can't fall in love with how you do it. And here's my point. After all these years, I mean, 200 years ago, somebody invented shoestrings. Shoestrings pretty much haven't changed in 200 years. We're still buying shoestrings, and they look very much like they looked 200 years ago. But we sure are buying them and delivering them and acquiring them differently than we did 200 years ago. Probably 150 years ago, there was a shoestring shop. Now there are no shoestring shops. You know, you see my point is, in other words, we're not, you know, people are still buying oranges. People are still eating fish. et cetera, et cetera. Those things haven't changed. It's okay to fall in love with the orange business or the fish business, but you better not fall in love with how you deliver that product and how people get it from you. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think it's important to go back to your first comments of almost half hour ago. The brand that you produce is what you fall in love with, and you can change the brand and what you fall in love with, but you can't assume that the brand is going to carry you. You have to execute well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't assume that what you make is the brand. That's the vision. It ain't going to work.
How many times have I seen and have you seen businesses, large and small, but especially the small ones, those are the most painful ones to me, who literally will sit there and implode and atrophy and disintegrate in front of your very eyes because they couldn't stop doing something the way they'd always done it. And they couldn't figure it out. They just couldn't make themselves, you know, deliver their product in a different way.
It's the truth for large companies as well as small companies.
Yeah.
Lack of vision is not repaired by execution. You need to have both vision and execution.
Give us an example of how you balance those two. Have you got any other than, you know, what we've already been talking about? You got any other ideas on how to balance those? I'm talking, you know, specific things. Should we take a day, a week, a day, a month, and say, okay, today we're not going to talk about delivering anything. We're going to have a two-hour meeting, and we're going to go off-site or whatever. We're going to say, okay, what if we turned our business upside down and painted it purple? What is that? Was that work?
I haven't tried to paint the purple part, but I think the technique to use is on a almost in a permanent basis, we make the decision to talk to our customers and our suppliers, as well as our employees, and ask the question, what are you not getting? What are our customers not getting? Two different questions. What are you not getting? What are our customers not getting that you would love to get? And let them help drive us towards the right vision to have.
What about these two questions? What do you want? And if they have problems saying that, then ask them, where's the pain?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think those are good, and I think in either set of questions, it's important to remember that we're not asking about the pain about the product we make. We're asking about the pain or what they want in their general life as customers or as employees.
And the answer, and you got to be prepared for the answer to be not all about you at all.
That, and you got to be prepared that your answer about you is not what you want to hear. But
you've
got to listen.
Yeah.
Right? You've got
to be prepared
listen.
That the answer might hurt.
It might. That's good.
Yeah.
Better you get an answer that hurts in a conversation than an answer that hurts at the bottom line.
If a customer gives you an answer that hurts, you should probably stand up and go hug that customer because they've just been your best friend, haven't they?
Yes. Best way to get it. Every day we can do this. Every day we can ask these questions of people, and the people that we ask will respect it and be very supportive.
And the only reason why, not the only reason, but the main reason I think why people don't do what you and I are talking about is they don't want to have to deal with the answers they're going to get. They probably already know they're not going to like it. Peter, I'm gonna have to wrap it up. Give us your website again, please.
Oh, creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
Don't we always get smarter, ladies and gentlemen? Peter Meyer joins us. Peter, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time.
I
got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, for all the things that you do. And I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.